Last time we started looking at the one another's in the scriptures. As I mentioned last time, somebody a long time ago, 20 or more years ago, had made a comment about doing a study of the one another's in scripture, everywhere it says do something one to another or for one another or that sort of thing. And I did that study and it was really interesting, the kinds of things that the Bible says that we're to do for one another. And the primary thing that we're to do for one another is to love one another. The scriptures teach that all of God's commandments can be summed up in two commands. One is that we love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we love one another as Christ loved us. So that whole thing of love sums up the whole law, both what we're to do to God and what we're to do for one another. So last time when we started this one another's, we started with love. Because really that thing that we're to do for one another sums up all the other things that we're to do for one another. We're to do all those other things because of the love that we have for one another. And this week, we're going to continue looking at one another's. And the first one that we're going to look at is in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Now, the one another is a few verses into this, but we'll start in verse 1 just to kind of give us a background on what he's talking about. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." So Joe has kind of made a pretty clear statement about what that means. We are who are the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Who's the strong? Well, generally, we all, from our own perspective, think that we're the strong, and people that don't think like we think are the weak, right? That's kind of the way Joe's defined that. I really like that, because that's the way it really works out, because every one of us kind of perceive ourselves as being stronger than others, and that primary thing that differentiates us is whether or not they agree with us. If they agree with us, they must be strong, and if they disagree with us, they must be weak, right? Because I know that what I believe is right. And when you look at it that way, it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it also reveals that every one of us has to change in order for us to come together. And what we change to be like is not like one another, but we change to become more like Christ. And as we do that, then as we converge on Him, we actually converge on one another and become alike. So those of us who are strong, which is all of us from our perspective, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We ought to bear the weaknesses of other people, the things that where they disagree with us, the things that they do differently than what we think they should. We're to bear with them in that. To bear with somebody means just to put up with them, to allow them to be that. It's okay. Oftentimes in churches, we think that everybody's got to be just a certain way, and if they aren't like that, then that can't happen. We can't have those people involved in our church. And that's just not the way it should be. We need to be tolerant of one another and to bear one another. And not to please ourselves. That whole thing about excluding people because they're not like us is more about validating who we are and what we think than it is about dealing with them in love. Verse 2 says, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." So instead of us trying to please ourselves, what we're to do is to please our neighbor for their edification. What does edification mean?
Building up.
So that word edifice like means the outside part of a building. What you see when you look at the building is the edifice. It's the thing that's been built up that you see when you see this building. And what we're to do, instead of pleasing ourselves, we're to please our brothers and sisters and to build them up, to help them to become more like Christ. Because this whole thing about excluding other people because they're not like us is actually about building myself up and making myself look better than them. Instead of being like that, I need to be exactly the opposite of that. In everything that I do, I need to be building up other people. Not trying to please myself, but trying to please others by helping them to become more like Christ. For even Christ pleased not himself. So this is exactly what Jesus did. He didn't please himself instead. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. In other words, Jesus is saying that all the reproaches that we deserve, and reproaches are telling us where we're wrong and punishing us for that. All those things that we deserve for our sins, he took upon himself. He didn't please himself, but instead he took what we deserved upon himself in order to please us and to build us up, to edify us and cause us to come to a place where we're like him. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So all this stuff written in here is for our learning, to help us learn how we're supposed to be. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. So this like-minded here, that's the thing we're to do one towards another, is to be like-minded. How are we to be like-minded? We are to have in us the same mind that Jesus had in him. That's what it says there. We're to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. So we, like him, who didn't please himself, but yet instead sacrificed himself for us, took upon him our reproaches, the punishments, and the guiltiness that we deserved. He took that upon himself so that we could be built up and become like him. And in the same way, we're to be like-minded towards one another. We're to have the same mind towards each other that Jesus had towards us. So that instead of building ourselves up and pleasing ourselves and excluding other people because they're not like us, we are to sacrifice ourselves for them. Take upon ourselves the reproaches that maybe they truly deserve and help them to grow and to become like Christ, to build others up. So that's the first one another tonight, is that we are to please one another by building each other up, just like Jesus did for us. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it important that we bear the infirmities of the weak, and not please ourselves, but instead please them by building them up and causing them to become like Christ, just like Jesus did for us? Why are we to do that? That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. As we all build each other up and become more like Christ, we'll be able to glorify God in the same way that Jesus did. Our mind will become Jesus' mind. Our mouth will become Jesus' mouth. We'll think Jesus' thoughts. He'll be able to communicate with us from heaven, from the throne where he is, through the Holy Spirit, and affect our minds and our mouths. The scriptures talk about that the mouths are a very difficult thing to control and that they are very damaging. We like to say the little rhyme of kids, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There's not a bigger lie in the world. Yeah. You know? It's the words that really hurt. Sticks and stones are nothing. It's words that make a difference. And when our mind becomes the mind of Christ, he's able to speak into our mind and we're able to hear it. And our mouth becomes the mouth of Christ and we're able to speak his word, the word of Christ, to people around us. Then we can make a difference. Then God will be glorified through us. Wherefore, we have the second one another in this passage. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So first, we are to be like-minded towards one another. We are to bear with one another, to not be judgmental of one another. But instead, we are to receive one another. We are to receive other people into our fellowship, just as Christ received us to the glory of God. Now, there is nothing more hypocritical than us not receiving another believer into our fellowship, pretty much than anything else. Why? Because Jesus received us. I mean, how crazy is that? How undeserving is that? How ridiculous is it that Jesus was willing to receive us unto himself? And then for us, so completely undeserving of being received by Jesus for us to turn around and not receive somebody else because we don't think they deserve it is absurd. We're to receive them into our fellowship. We're to receive one another just like Christ also received us to the glory of God. When we're able to receive one another and bear with one another's weaknesses, and instead of criticizing one another, instead help each other, edify one another, build each other up to where we become like Christ, when we do that, the glory for all of that goes to God. That's how we glorify one another. By receiving one another, by bearing with one another's weaknesses, by instead of pleasing ourselves, pleasing the other person by building them up and helping them to become like Christ. When we act like that, then we are something that is special and powerful and unusual in the world. And people will look at that, and instead of going, wow, those people are pretty interesting, they go, wow, God is pretty awesome with what he's done in that group of people. So we are to bear with one another, and we are to receive one another. And this word here, receive, it's not just about letting them come into the building. Because you can let somebody come into your building, but then realize that you really didn't let them come into the building, right? I mean, they walked in the door, but they're not one of you, right? So that word receive there is much more than allowing them to come inside. It is welcoming them to come inside. It's accepting them as one of you. Making them realize that you really do care about them and love them and want them to be there. So next, something that's very similar to that is in 1 Peter 4:9. First Peter 4:9, a big part of bearing with the weak and receiving one another to ourselves and making them feel welcome is to do that with hospitality. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So when we're receiving other people into us, we're to do it with hospitality. What is hospitality? It is welcoming.
Making somebody feel at home.
Making somebody feel at home.
Offering them what you have.
Offering them what you have. See, that's a very, very important part of that. Because we're talking about, you know, receiving them in, and that it's really easy for a group of people to allow somebody to come in the doors of their building but not really receive them into their group. If you really receive somebody into their group, it's more than just, you know, letting them come in the building. It's more than just shaking their hand. It is giving of yourself to them, whatever that is. And I think that's one of the things that's really beautiful about what we do on Sunday mornings with the food that we provide. People come into our fellowship, and they come in our door, and the first thing they do is they're given this hospitality. We bring them in, we feed them, we tell them how glad we are for them to be there. We give them delicious food and drinks and coffee and whatever they want, and we sit down with them and we eat together. That's hospitality. That's going beyond just letting them in the door. That's going beyond just shaking their hand. That's bringing them into your midst and sitting down and eating with them. That's a beautiful thing.
Very informal.
And it's very informal, yeah. And it's just, it is showing a kind of caring and love for other people that goes beyond just words, just goes beyond lip service to actual actions and doing things to serve one another. And when we bring those things and people cook them and they bring them in here and they set them out and people do the setting out of stuff and people do the cleaning up of things and making sure that there's utensils and plates and forks and all those things, that is a serving of other people. That is showing hospitality to people. And it's really a beautiful thing, and it's what you should see in a church. That kind of activity should be what's going on in the church. bearing with other people's weaknesses, receiving people regardless of what they're like, just like Jesus did for us, and then showing them hospitality, giving to them, caring about them. And the food is just one way of doing that. We do that in other ways as well, by really making them feel welcome. Now, another way that we're to do that, and this is really interesting, is by not only are we to bear with them, not only are we to receive them, not only are we to show hospitality to one another, but we are to show affection towards one another. And this is one in our society where it's just kind of like you don't touch each other, right? We're really weird about that. And particularly in like work situations and in school situations. And I know Audra has to deal with that, dealing with schools. Like, she can't touch the children. You have to be very careful what you do. But as believers, there should be an affection that we show one another. So let's look at some examples of that in the scriptures. Turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. It says, salute or greet one another with an holy kiss. What? Greet each other with a holy kiss. And in 1 Corinthians 16, 20, it says it again. All the brethren greet you. And he says, greet you one another with a holy kiss. And then in 2 Corinthians 13, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5.
Like I was just up there.
Right. I think he was. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. Says, greet one another with a kiss of charity or a kiss of love. So when we greet each other, we're to greet each other with affection. And he says to greet each other with a holy kiss. That means a pure kiss, a kiss of affection that's not, you know, adulterous or anything like that, but just a kiss of like brotherly, sisterly affection. And also that kiss is to be a kiss of love. So what do we do with this? I mean, like, men kissing each other in our society is not something that's normal, right? It's something we don't do that. Now, women in our society are much better about kissing one another, right? There's much more kissing going on between women. What you do see, you know, what is the equivalent to this in our society?
A handshake.
A handshake is part of it. You know, and you have different forms of handshakes, right? You have handshakes that are very formal handshakes. Then you have handshakes that are more warm handshakes that are closer to each other. You have the handshake that, you know, where it's kind of you shake hands and there's kind of the hug that goes with it. You know, there's that kind of handshake that's fairly popular between men in our society. What are other ways that we can show affection?
Pat on the back is so good to see.
Yeah. A pat on the back may be good. Yeah, it's just kind of a... And even amongst men, there can be kind of a coming along beside and kind of a pat on the back, kind of from the side sort of thing. That's fairly common in our society with men. What other kinds of affection do we show? Judy shows one particular sort of affection fairly frequently and with great vigor. The hug, right?
I'm a hugger.
Yeah, Judy's a hugger. You know, that's a good thing. It makes me feel good to get a hug from Judy. That's part of that affection that we show to one another, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. I think we don't do it enough. I think there should be more affection shown between us. It doesn't, you know, we don't necessarily have to kiss like they did in that society. But there's still a lot of societies today where a kiss is a very valid thing between acquaintances. When they come up to meet each other, they kiss each other on the cheeks. Some even kiss on the mouth. You know, there are societies where men kissing is still a normal thing, like it was then. In our society, not so normal. But if we did, it wouldn't be anything wrong with it, right? But we just don't do that. But we do we can still show affection. We can come alongside each other with a pat on the back. That one's very acceptable between men in our society. And then there's the kind of the handshake hug that's fairly acceptable. In between women, and there's definitely hugs and kisses that goes on in our society. And that you should see that. And I think we do see that. I see it in our church. And then between men and women, where people aren't uncomfortable with that, hugs there, either side hugs or even front hugs, are okay. If they're a holy hug. That's something that in our society, I think we've kind of missed out on. You know, we just don't touch each other very much. And God doesn't have a problem with that. And we do. We've got a hang up about that in our society. But I think we would do well to show affection towards one another. I think that should be a part of it. So we should receive each other, welcome one another, show hospitality to one another, and even, God forbid, show affection towards one another. I think that's part of it. I mean, we're a family, right? We're brothers and sisters, and we should be able to have some affection amongst ourselves and not feel so awkward about that. I mean, I admit, I am a very non-touchy person just by nature. And it's somewhat awkward for me in a lot of situations. I've completely gotten over that with Judy. It's very comfortable and very normal. But just in general, I don't generally initiate like that sort of contact. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a very good thing. And we should be, I think, more affectionate towards one another. Next, turn to Romans chapter 12. And one last thing on the affectionate greetings. This is another one that I'm not really good at all, and that is just verbally expressing affection. Verbally saying "I love you" to people that we're close with, our brothers and sisters. It's okay. It's a good thing. I personally have, in my family, we never said that very much. I mean, I could probably count on one hand the number of times we've told each other that, and that's a failing on our part, and it's a weakness of my own, but we shouldn't feel awkward about that. We should actually be okay with it, and we should express that affection and tell each other that we love one another when we have opportunities. That's one that I personally fail at and need to do a better job of.
It seems to be pretty obvious around here, though. A lot of times with new people, because I get it from them, that we understand how we are received. Mm-hmm. We understand that. When we come to a place and then we leave a place, we know how we were received mm-hmm. when we came there.
Yeah.
And they're constantly commenting here.
Yeah,
that they felt welcome.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing at our church that I think is, there is a lot of affection shown. I think that we should be glad that we're seeing that, because I believe that comes from the Holy Spirit and from the love that the Holy Spirit creates within us, and be even, you know, go beyond what we're doing now and allow that to be an important part of what we have here, because I think it is. I think it's that affection and that welcomingness that really is a special thing here. The next thing in Romans chapter 12 is in verse 10. Says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So we've already seen this loving one another and showing affection towards one another. So we have that reiterated here. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. So we're to be affectionate towards one another with a sibling kind of love, a brother and sister sort of love. So we've already talked about that. So the next thing is, in honor preferring one another. So not only are we to love one another and to receive one another and be hospitable and to show affection towards one another, but we're to show honor and respect towards one another. That's a very important thing that we're to do for one another, is to show honor, preferring one another. So what does it mean to prefer one another, to prefer other people?
Beats me.
Choosing to have their company.
It is choosing to have their company, but this particular word has more to do with, it goes right along with honor and showing respect towards one somebody else. So somebody that you highly respect or show respect to, you tend to give them the preference. You tend to allow them to take the place ahead of you. You put them in a position above yourself. So it's sort of like that whole idea of, somebody comes in Jesus tells that story. Now, if you come into a place you haven't been to before, sit in the back. Don't take honor upon, don't give preference to yourself. Don't give yourself the honorable place. And then somebody that sees you sit in the back, if you have honor, they will ask you to come to the front and sit in the honorable place. That's the idea here. Don't take preference for ourselves and try to put ourselves in the honorable place. But instead, we're to put ourselves in the lowly place and put other people in the place of preference. Show honor to others and show preference to them. And by preference, I mean put them in the preferred place. Put them ahead of ourselves. So here when it's talking about preference, it's really talking about relative to ourselves. So put other people ahead of yourself. Put others first. Exactly. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. This is talking about being filled with the Spirit and how we're to act when we're filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, we are to be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. So this is all part of this honoring thing. So when we honor other people and we put them ahead of ourselves, what we do is that we submit to them. It says we're to submit ourselves one to another. So every one of us, instead of trying to put ourselves ahead of other people and trying to get them to submit to us, what we're to do is to put other people ahead of ourselves, and we are to submit ourselves to them. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, when we see ourselves rightly before God, that is an humbling thing. When we see ourselves as sinners before God and we fear Him rightly and recognize that He has, through Jesus, saved us with tremendous grace, then we should be humbled by that. So if we're going to submit ourselves to others, the reason why is because we fear God and we realize who we are and where we are, and instead of putting ourselves in the preferred place, we put them in the preferred place and we humble ourselves and submit to them.
This one is the Amplified that says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Out of respect towards God. See, we're to show respect for one another because we show respect for God. Our respect for Him should be reflected in how we treat other people. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. You're going to know where 1 Peter is when we get through tonight. 1 And the reality of it is when we show disrespect to other people, it's actually God that we're disrespecting. We're showing disrespect to Him as well. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. So this is just a kind of a general rule in society. It's good for younger people to submit themselves to older people. And this could also be taken as submit yourselves to the elders of the church, the spiritual leaders of the church. Yea, all of you. So first it starts with the youngers to the elder, but it says, but also everybody. Just like it said in Ephesians, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So part of this honoring and submitting ourselves to one another is to be done clothed with humility, because we know that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So the people in the church that try to put themselves in the higher positions and put other people below them, you know what God is doing to those people? He is actively resisting them. He is working against them. We don't want to be that person. We want to be the person that God is working with. In order for us to be that person, we have to submit ourselves to one another, clothed with humility, knowing that God gives grace to the humble. When we are putting ourselves in the preferred place and putting other people down, God resists us. When we put ourselves in the servant place, submitting to others and put them in the preferred place, then God gives us grace. When we humble ourselves under His mighty hand, He will exalt us in due time. So when we humble ourselves and do what He wants us to do, when it's His timing, because what we do when we do that is we put ourselves in a place where He can use us. See, if we're putting ourselves in the preferred place and putting others down, He can't use us. Not only can He not use us, He's working against us. But when we humble ourselves and put other people ahead of ourselves and we begin to serve them, then we're in a place where God can use us. And when we're in that place where God can use us, there will come a time in His plan where He will use us. And that is when He exalts us and uses us for whatever His purpose for us has been the whole time. But if we're not putting ourselves in that place, He will not use us. Instead, He will actively work against us. So, us honoring and submitting to other people is very, very important in God's eyes. It is that sort of believer that God can and will use to do His work. And He will not use the kind who disrespects others and tries to get other people to submit to them. And out of that humble submission to one another comes the last one another that we will look at this week, is in Galatians 5:13. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's the thing. When before we get saved, when we're unbelievers, we are, the scripture says, slaves to sin. We have no freedom. We think we do, because we have the opportunity to fulfill our sexual desire. I said sexual. I meant to say sinful desires. We can fulfill, sexual is one of them, potentially. We can fulfill our sinful desires in whatever way we desire. But we are captive by those sins. We are not free to do what God wants us to do. And when He saves us, He sets us free from sin for the first time. And when He frees us from sin, He expects us to use that freedom not as an occasion to sin more, but as an opportunity through love to serve one another. That's what God expects us to do. We're to love one another. We're to please one another by edifying each other and building each other up. We're to receive, accept, and welcome one another, showing hospitality to one another, showing affection to one another, showing honor and respect to one another, submitting to one another, and the natural thing that flows out of all of that is serving each other. Who did Jesus say would be the greatest people in His kingdom? The least and what? He said two things. The least and the one who is the servant of all. See, if you want to be the greatest in my kingdom, you need to be the least. If you're the greatest in my kingdom, you need to be the servant of all. That's what it means to be the least, right? It's to be everybody else's servant. That is what we are to be towards one another. is one another's servants. Instead of serving ourselves and expecting other people to serve us, we're to see ourselves as the servant of each other. And to do things, not to give ourselves position or give ourselves honor, but to honor other people and to serve them. And there's so many ways that we can do that. Now, this service towards one another is just simply doing what other people need to have done, whatever that is, whatever God's given us the ability to do. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And he served the people around him, and he served us all the way to the point of cleaning up after us, right? That's what he did. He cleaned up after all of our sins and served us in that way. Took our sins upon himself and washed us of our sin. That's how he served us. In a very similar way, that's how we are to do for one another. When you take all these things that we've talked about, it comes right down to serving each other. Doing the things for each other that we need.